is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Well, I don't know if we can say good afternoon, but good noon. It's a little humid out there. I've started the AC here in Studio A, and if you've noticed that we're a little short on actual DJs, that's because Tufts held its graduation this past Tuesday, and we're doing our best to find out if we're going to be totally off the air this Saturday of the Memorial Day weekend, since this is usually when Tufts facilities shuts down the power grid. So as soon as we get the official word, we will let you know. However, many folks are returning for either the summer session or community members will be coming back. So by all means, check the schedule. You're not hearing Chris Major. He had to work. For those of you not in the know, he's actually gainfully employed by the Medford Fire Department. So we're doing our best to hold the fort for him. And I may not play the same classic rock, and it won't be all classic rock. But hey, the official description of the show is freeform, right? Right. On with the show.
We'll be right back. When I came back from Larang Prabang, I didn't have a thing where my balls used to hang, but I got a wooden medal and a fine harangue, and now I'm a fucking hero. Mourn your dead land of the free, if you wanna be a hero, follow me. Mourn your dead land of the free, if you wanna be a hero, follow me. And now the boys all envy me. I fought for Christian democracy with nothing but air where my balls used to be, but now I'm a fucking hero. Mourn your dead land of the free, if you wanna be a hero, follow me. Mourn your dead land of the free, if you wanna be a hero, follow me. The 120 cannon thunder into the bloody wild blue yonder for a patriotic ballless wonder. Now I'm a fucking hero. Mourn your dead land of the free, if you wanna be a hero, follow me. Mourn your dead land of the free, if you wanna be a hero, follow me. In Loang Prabang there is a spot where the corpses of your brothers rot, and every corpse is a patriot, and every corpse is a hero. Mourn your dead land of the free, if you wanna be a hero, follow me. Mourn your dead land of the free, if you wanna be a hero, follow me.
So we'll just give a little background to that song. It was written by Dave Van Ronk and put on an album which was only heard on late night radio. It is about the Vietnam War and the reception of the veterans who were not recognized for their service. This was sort of like, how shall we say it, the first truly unpopular war that America fought. And how we got into it really makes for very interesting reading, because it was John F. Kennedy who tried to pick up the mess that the French left behind in Dinh Binh Phu. And suddenly we had a draft starting up again. Our current illustrious Cheeto got out of that draft because of bone spurs in his heels. Many college kids got deferments. All you had to do was stay in school. And for it was primarily a war of poor people and those who didn't see themselves going to college. A lot of black and minority kids. And now, of course, what you're finding out is that, many of these folks came back homeless, living under bridges, no family. And so right outside of Fort Jackson, where the unclaimed are buried in the cemetery there, there is a whole honor guard escorting the remains of their fellow soldiers. And I'm proud to say that Boston, several years ago, started planting American flags in the Boston Common. What I've heard is there are over 37,000 flags this year. They're up through Memorial Day, which when I was young used to be known as Decoration Day. This was when you would not only decorate or honor the graves of your ancestors, but anybody else in the cemetery going back through the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, obviously the Second World War. We started having monuments and street corners named for people, because of course we got in late in the First World War, and we got in late in the Second World War, and literally it took the Japanese bombing Pearl Harbor before America stirred from its isolationist thing and said, hey, they can't do that to us. So we owe a huge debt to Britain for holding the line, because Mr. Hitler came so close. Yes, he did. And it really, really distresses me to see the rise of anti-Semitism sentiments in this country. I am like, do we learn nothing? Absolutely nothing from history? Please. And yes, it really has hit close to home. I live in Arlington, just outside of Medford here, with beautiful downtown Tufts, coming to you, WMFO, from the third floor of Curtis Hall, and only to find that a rabbi and his wife, who hold services for the Arlington and Belmont area, has been attacked by fires set outside their home twice. So, on this Memorial Day, rather than racing to the car lot or going to Home Depot, please take a moment to remember the people who fought and died to make this country free. Okay, that's it. Off of my soapbox. Tom Russell is coming to town. For those of you not familiar with Tom Russell, this is his Peon to Charles Bukowski and a Ballad for Gone America.
Bukowski, someone asks. Just to have a blue-collar poet coming from the street and the bars and the post office. From Skid Row instead of the goddamn dead university system. System where our guts and heart and creativity are wrenched from us and we become a nation of domesticated animals. At his best, Bukowski told us what it was like in the factories and the bars and the bedrooms, places where America really lives. He told us what it was like to go to work in the morning and sit out there on the freeway grinding your teeth. He told us what it was like behind the shades in all those lonely rooms in Hollywood. And if you don't think there aren't a lot of people dying right now behind the shades in lonely rooms, then you don't know America. Later in the 1980s, Bukowski wrote me, said, I got out of Hollywood. Things kept repeating themselves over there. I still go to Musso Frank's now and then for a steak. But outside of that, everything's gone, man. I like my new book, Ham on Rye. For me, it's the best. And you know what? I'm the one I get on the freeway with. Then Bukowski went on. He said, drink is more important to me than women. Women are only important when you want them and you can't get them. All the women I've known seem to like movies and parties and dinners and holidays and telephone conversations. And all my women were always talking about their potential. I always informed them that potential didn't cut shit. You had to do it. None of them ever did. What about Harry Bartsch riding the freights as a hobo across America? Ending up in California and creating his own musical scale. Building beautiful American junkyard instruments to perform his outsider tunes on. Reciting 8 graffiti inscriptions off a Barstow highway railing. Harry Bartsch.
I am Harry Bartsch, a composer. My compositions, a few of which are here recorded, employ a scale, instruments, and manner of performance different from that of current musical practice.
I must go back a little ways. I think it was perhaps worse in the early 1920s than it is now, although perhaps not. That is the use of English in what is called serious music. It's a kind of English that is totally impossible of communication in any place in the British Isles that I know, any place in this country, Canada or Australia. It's a refined and particularly stylized English speech which distressed and appalled me. I had been studying, and when I was a hobo, I began studying hobo speech. I had been studying the speech around me, and this is what I wanted to make it, the speech around me, not this strange language that was sung by people in opera and on the concert stage.
Jack Kerouac, wandering through the streets of San Francisco in search of work as a railroad switchman, drunk on cheap port wine, digging the sounds in the last old burlesque and alley jazz joints, because the only truth was music. It's a jam session Sunday afternoon in a San Francisco jazz cellar. The joint is roaring. It's the beat generation, the beat to keep, the beat of the heart. It's being beat and down and out in the world. And now here's Jack Kerouac, reading October in the Railroad Earth, Steve Allen on piano.
There was a little alley in San Francisco, back of the Southern Pacific Station at 3rd and Townsend, in red brick of drowsy, lazy afternoons with everybody at work and offices. In the air, you feel the impending rush of their commuter frenzy. As soon they'll be charging en masse from Market and Sansom buildings on foot and in buses and all well-dressed through working man Frisco of walk-up truck drivers. And even the poor grime bemarked 3rd Street of lost bums, even Negroes so hopeless and long left east and meanings of responsibility and try. And now all they do is stand there spitting in the broken glass, sometimes 50 in one afternoon against one wall at 3rd and Howard. Here's all these Milbrae and San Carlos, neat necktied producers and commuters of America and steel civilization, rushing by with San Francisco Chronicles and green call bulletins, not even enough time to be disdainful. They've got to catch 130, 132, 134, 136, all the way up to 146, till the time of evening supper in homes of the railroad earth, when high in the sky the magic stars ride above the following hotshot freight trains.
Finally, what about Lenny Bruce? Savaging American hypocrisy and religion, only to be hounded to death by the American legal system, the cops, the Catholic Church. Lenny Bruce, the man Dick Gregory called the eighth wonder of the world. Dick said you'd have to go back as far as Mark Twain to find anything like Lenny. That is, if they don't kill him or throw him in jail. Was busted, deported from Britain, busted again in L.A., Chicago, New York, San Francisco, where he is finally declared a legally bankrupt pauper in 1964. Lenny was hassled not so much for dirty words as what he said between the words. Here's Lenny Bruce.
When people say to me, how come you're divorced? I always make up a lie and say, my mother-in-law broke up my marriage. I say, well, how'd that happen? So one day my wife came home early from work and she found us in bed together. She's an old woman, but firm, and I don't know if there's any losers sitting out here. But when you break up with your old lady, you get divorced, the places that you go together, then when you go in alone, they always say, where it's, I don't know if it's the market or the laundromat. They say, where's your wife? They say, I'm divorced. And there's always an embarrassed silence. They don't know what to do. You should get together, you know, a lovely couple. They don't know what the hell. They don't even know you, but so we used to go to a Chinese restaurant on this strip a lot, you know, in Los Angeles. For years we went there together. So when I go in alone, the waiter says to me, where's mama? How come you don't bring mama anymore? Such a beautiful girl, her long red hair, but I like her. Here's some cookies, bring mama home some cookies. I said, I'm divorced. So, oh, you better off.
Bukowski said in the last letters, you know, Russell, good writing seemed to stop dead when World War II began. Since then, we've had a half century of dead writing. Everybody's too practiced, too precise, too lacking in the gamble. There's no fire or excitement in it. Jeffers laid blood on the paper. As I said before, Hemingway was better when I was young. I lacked experience and Hemingway seemed packed with it. But after I got to be 40 or 50, I had my own little knapsack filled with my own crap, and his stuff didn't read so tough then. Also, he was a crank. He had no humor at all. Hell is really a laugh sometimes, you know. And I drink on.
Doing the funhouse laugh there, they would record me, or sometimes I'd do it live, and they'd lower it, slow it down, or I, you know, when the women would go in and the air whistle would blow up their skirts and you'd see their cotton panties, man. Well, one day I got lushed up and I was shooting crank, and Chuck Bukowski had given me a poetry book of American poets, and I came out of that funhouse. Now, I used to say, you know, on the midway, I'd say, hey, Freddie, bring out the armless boy. Or, hey, Freddie, bring out the tattooed man. Or B.J. Reed, the geek who eats chickens, you know? Well, this time when I was lushed up and I'd been reading that poetry and trying to make sense of it, I'd say, as a joke, I said, hey, Freddie, bring out Charles Bukowski. Here's Charles Bukowski himself, in the flesh.
If you've noticed, everything is calculated. When I finish the last poem, the last drink will arrive at the same time. Let's work out. On the hustle. I suppose one of the worst times was when, after a drunken reading and an all-night party, I'd promised to appear at an 11 o'clock English class. And there they sat, nicely dressed, terribly young, awfully comfortable. I only wanted to sleep, and I kept the wastebasket close in case I puked. I think I was in the state of Nebraska or Illinois or Ohio. No more of this, I thought. I'll go back to the factories if they'll have me.
Finally, in March of 1991, Bukowski wrote, "I have a sick and frantic need to get words running across a piece of paper. I feel luck that after all the decades of starvation and madness, that I'm now able to survive on my words, that I no longer need work for anybody or look for a park bench for a night's sleep. Now at my age, they'll soon be calling my number. That's all right with me. There's not much around here. The longer I live, the worse it all looks. All I have now are my goddamn words to play with."
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just got invited to the prom. Do you A, meet her date?
I need to see your past date report cards, your driver's license, a list of references, and this hair sample.
B, help her pick out a dress.
Don't you just love the long sleeves and turtleneck on this pantsuit?
Ugh.
C, attend the prom undercover.
Mom, what are you doing here?
I'm not Mom, I'm Calvin, the new kid at school.
Or D, capture her big moment.
Let's take a photo of you two. I'm in the middle.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, it is good afternoon. It is becoming more cloudy and humid, but the rain theoretically is supposed to hold off until the evening. We heard from Tom Russell and his Hot Walker album, 3 Peons to Bukowski, and in the middle, a reminiscence of Harry Parch, Jack Kerouac, and Lenny Bruce. He made this album after realizing, hey, they're all gone. There's also a very nice reflection on Edward Abbey. As I mentioned, usually Russell performs in the Southwest, so it will be really great to see him. He's coming to Passeams doing two shows, June 14th and 15th. And if you're in the Medford, Cambridge, Boston, Somerville, and points west area, I would definitely recommend you get tickets for this man. He does everything. He paints. He writes spy novels with his wife. So yeah, go see Tom Russell. Before that, we heard Patrick Sky doing Dave Van Ronk's song "The Wang Prabang" from Songs That Made America Famous. Creedence Clearwater Revival gave us "Down on the Corner" from Willie and the Poor Boys. and Big Brother and the Holding Company featuring Janis Joplin gave us Light is Faster Than Sound and Summertime live at the Carousel Ballroom. And we are going back and visiting these two albums for the duration of our first hour here on Strike the Box. Chris Major will be back next week, as long as he doesn't have to work, which does make it a little difficult to do the show. I used to have a time slot from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday morning because I didn't have to work until Monday evening. When that became too much trouble, I tried to do 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. to get myself a parking space, and still no luck. And when Friday nights every other week opened up from 6 to 8 p.m., I was so joyful. So if you want to hear my regular shows, Celtic Dusk and Between the Worlds, just tune in tomorrow from 6 p.m. to 8 a.m. Onward with the music.
Got you to the table. You see the same old thing. Ain't no food upon the table. There's no fork up in the pan. But you better not complain, boy. You get in trouble with the man.
Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special. The midnight special, shine a ever-loving light on me.
Yonder come Miss Rosie, how in the world did you know? By the way she wears an apron,
sitting down by a window, looking out the rain. Lord, Lord, sitting down by me my window, on the looking rain, yeah. Some came along, grabbed a hold of me, and it felt just like a ball and chain. You know how it feels when it's dragging you down and it just hurts you every morning, you know what I mean, don't you? Yeah. Single little town, that little elf thing I reach out for and seems to always leave me, babe. He's always leave me wrong. Yeah. He knows, say, why? Now, babe, tell me why. I guess maybe it hadn't happened to you, but it happens to me every single time. Yes, it does. All goes wrong. Oh, so wrong. Here's a man I'm loving, baby. He went off and left me, and went off and hurt me for so long. Yes, it did. I never understood why. Oh, I never understood it. No, I didn't. Yeah. Oh, love got a hold on my baby. Feels like a ball and chain. Love's just dragging me down, daddy. Feels like a ball and chain. You know how it hurts you and how it drags you down. Somebody can tell me why the man I'm loving don't want to leave me in so much pain. Well, come on, and maybe you can answer my question. Just one time is all I ask for. Yeah, all right. And I'll say, oh. Now, honey, tell me why. Now, tell me, why. I got to know right now. Because if I wait too long, I'll to love you, and I just want to hold you till the day I die. And I know there ain't nothing wrong with me with loving you, babe. I can't be wrong. No. can't be fine. Honey, all I wanted to do was love you, and you always put me down. I ain't right about that. Nothing right. Here you go in the day. I wanted to love you. Love you. Oh, baby. Can't you, won't you let me please just try one time? Yeah! All right! Sitting down by my window. Sitting by my window looking out at the rain. Some came along, grabbed a hold of me, and it felt just like a ball and chain. That's exactly what I felt like, and I guess I just had to do one more time. Yeah, all right. And I'll say, oh. Now, honey, tell me why this can't be in vain. I say, just can't be. It just can't be. I've been too good to you, baby. You know I have. If you tell my baby, I can tell you. But oh, I know why. Love. I said, love is like a ball. Ooh, yeah. Love on a tree.
Big brother. Big.